We would like to take a moment to thank our sponsor, Preborn. When a mother meets her baby on an ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, it's a divine connection, and the majority of the time, she will choose life. But she can't do it without our help. Preborn needs us, the pro-life community, to come alongside her. One ultrasound is just $28. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby, or visit preborn.com.
Jenna Ellis in the Morning on American Family Radio.
I love talking about the things of God because of truth and the biblical worldview.
The U.S. Constitution obligates our government to preserve and protect the rights that our founders recognize come from God, our Creator, not our government. I believe that Scripture in the Bible is very clear that God is the one that raised up each of you, and God has allowed us to be brought here to this specific moment in time.
This is Jenna Ellis in the Morning.
Morning. Well, a lot of news yet again from yesterday. I mean, this is just wild. This is like a TV movie style plot line where the script writer, it just throws one crazy curveball after the next, because yesterday, while we were all looking forward to and did see J.D. Vance formally accept Trump's nomination for vice president, and we will get to that, Joe Biden apparently also tested positive for COVID. And so the Daily Show, their post on X was funny. It was Democrats, we just need one positive headline, and then Biden, okay, I'll test positive for COVID. Is that a positive headline? But wouldn't it be just absolutely wild in this entire COVID narrative of everything that has happened if the Chinese virus is actually what ended up being the reason, or the alleged reason, that Beijing Biden had to drop out of the presidential race? I mean, this is just interesting. And I still think, and I have said for a long time, I do think he is going to be replaced. And we'll see who the Democrats put up. There is, of course, wide speculation, just like there was for Trump's VP. And it's never everybody can speculate, but it's never solid until it actually happens. So everybody's speculating on whether Kamala will actually be the heir apparent, or whether they will replace her with someone else. My bet is still that they will replace her with someone else, because there's just no way that she can possibly beat Donald Trump. So why go through all of this effort? But Trump last night, before we get to our first guest this morning, I do want to play this clip from J.D. Vance on Trump calling for unity and accepting the nomination during his speech last night. I thought it was an excellent speech, and he proved why he is a great communicator, why Trump chose him, and that he didn't actually sound like a politician. A lot of people were actually texting me that in response, and that was one of the main reasons I think that people contrasted a younger millennial to some of the older politicians in current and recent history. But this is J.D. Vance from last night.
They said he was a tyrant. They said he must be stopped at all costs. But how did he respond? He called for national unity, for national calm, literally right after an assassin nearly took his life. And my message to my fellow Americans, those watching from across the country, is shouldn't we be governed by a party that is unafraid to debate ideas and come to the best solution? That's the Republican Party of the next 4 years, united in our love for this country and committed to free speech and the open exchange of ideas. And so tonight, Mr. Chairman, I stand here humbled, and I'm overwhelmed with gratitude to say I officially accept your nomination to be Vice President of the United States of America.
So that was J.D. Vance. And while it was a great rallying speech, it was very pro-America, a lot of really good things in there. I did notice there was not one mention of God other than talking about his grandmother's faith, and then also talking about how she likes to swear a lot, which was interesting. Not one mention of abortion, pro-life, the overturning of Roe versus Wade, any stance on traditional marriage. I mean, none of the social issues. And this is J.D. Vance. And so this is where, you know, I mean, he is really good bros with Peter Thiel. There's a lot of money in the tech bros behind that. And there is a huge push to emphasize only the economy, the average American wage, rather than anything on the social issues. And I think as conservatives and especially as Christians, we need to be careful in how we view J.D. Vance and his priorities and not just get wrapped up in kind of the emotional spectacle, really, that is the RNC convention. So let's bring on our good friend Steve Dace, who has been watching all of this and commenting. And Steve, you know, you and I have been talking about the Republican Party platform, but way more than that, just what seems to be a lost culture, even on the right, that is not addressing these priorities. And that was very clear from J.D. Vance yesterday on the stage, that it's almost like they just want to blow right past that and say, pro-lifers, evangelical Christians, you either get on board with our progressive agenda or you get out. There's not necessarily a seat on the table. So where do evangelicals go from here in this current climate?
Well, I think you have to recognize that a political party is not a substitute for the church. And if the institution that God installed on earth for the discipling and advancing of conviction on a corporate level no longer takes that seriously, then coalition will substitute for conviction. And that's what you're seeing right now with the Republican Party. I think, you know, we all need to pause and attempt to see things inside out, and to make sure. And I have to do this myself to make sure that the most Pharisaical statement in the New Testament is nothing good could come from Nazareth. And I think that we have to make sure we understand what it is possible God is doing and why he's doing it, that it doesn't necessarily always go by our playbook, and to try to figure out what field is he working, and then go to work in that field. And I will tell you this, Jenna, when I came home from maybe the most overtly demonic movie I've ever seen, so I won't mention it publicly. And I come home, and my phone goes off. It's a buddy of mine who works at Fox News. Trump's just been shot. We're following it right now. And then my phone just blows up after that. And I watch, and I'm watching this, and when he stood up and he clenched his fist and said, fight. And I got to tell you, for the first time in several years, I thought Donald Trump was talking to me. And I think we have to understand what the attempted shooting of him by the spirit of the age. And how do you know it's the spirit of the age? Confusion. We don't have a motive. We don't know anything. We don't know why he did it. We don't know how he did it. We don't know who's responsible. All right. You know, the kingdom of God provides clarity. The spirit of the age disseminates confusion. And then when you see the amount of people from, celebrities, to politicians, to teachers in the public schools teaching our kids, to Home Depot clerks who are just they think it's either funny or they're legit disappointed that the bullet missed its intended target by centimeters. And you have to understand that until Donald Trump came down that escalator, all these entities loved him. He was perhaps the most popular celebrity on the planet as recently as 2014. And that the reason why much of this exists, some of it is his own. It's like he's a magnet for rakes. It's like he looks for them to step on them at times. Well, I'm sure you experienced that working in his administration. Like, why are we stepping on this rake? Okay. You know, we can just go around it. No, we have to step on it. Okay. I guess we step on it again, you know? So there's some of that. Okay. But a lot of that, and the majority of it, is generated from his association with people like us. And so when these people are saying, I wish it would have hit, what they're really saying is they're fine with shooting us. That's really what they're saying. And that's what they're saying when they take grandmothers in Tennessee and put him in prison attempt to put him in prison for praying outside of, barbaric baby, dismemberment clinics. And it dawned on me that in the aftermath of this, for the next few hours, pondering this, watching this, and something, you know, there's an old quote And I think it comes from Spurgeon. The problem with, and this is almost 200 years old. The problem with pastors today is no one wants to put them in prison. And I thought to myself, you know, the spirit of the age took a shot at this guy. It should be shooting at us. We should be seen as this level of threat. Are you going to a church where you think the pastor is on a watch list? If not, leave. Miss the war. Missed it. Not in it. Has completely abrogated forsaken one of the main purposes we have as the church. I mean, how many pastors in America are worthy of a crazed lone gunman? Okay, at the height of their popularity, coming out of nowhere and shooting them. Not many. Not many. And I have to, would we prefer, would we all as evangelicals, movement conservatives, which comes out of our faith, would we all prefer that the man who believes and has lived one man, one woman marriage for the entirety of his life was a virgin on his wedding night, and so was she, and all their kids adore them, and all are well-adjusted, and all are going to church and following after the Lord, would we prefer that that person was the hero of the story? Of course. But when we kept losing evangelicals to Trump in 2016, and one of the things I did on the Cruz campaign, that's who the we was, is I was involved in evangelical outreach. And we kept losing evangelicals, and Southern Baptists even, to Trump, despite the fact we had this fiery Southern Baptist center. And I'm trying to figure out why that is. And this analogy came to me, and I had forgotten it over the last few years, but I think it's even more appropriate now. And I remember saying to Senator Cruz that our people would prefer the Gary Cooper sheriff, the one that you look up to, you want your sons to grow up to be like, you want to marry your daughters off to. They waited for the Gary Cooper sheriff to show up in the town square and get rid of the banditos. He never showed. He had other things to do. Never showed. And so sooner or later, you turn to the drifter, the pale rider, the anti-hero. That's Clint Eastwood in the spaghetti westerns. And you understand why you're doing this. You're desperate. That there is no other option. That there will be high collateral. Your storefront may get shot out. It might be one of your loved ones that is caught in the crossfire here. But you also understand that without this drifter, you don't have a town. So you make that decision, okay, and accept that damage. And that's who Trump represents. And the system sees that. The spirit of the age sees that. And that's why everything else, I can justify as someone who has been more than a Trump skeptic over the years, despite voting for him. Precisely because of my biblical convictions, I can justify how he has played a role in almost all the lawfare that he's faced, and that he has, you know, stepped on these rakes and made it worse and hired bad lawyers and not tamed his tongue, that he's a Samsonite figure, okay, who has beyond self-destructive tendencies. But I can also see why the Philistines hate Samson, the guy who's going to tear down, because we're in the time of the judges. And the good guy priests, they could have torn down the temple to the fish demon Dagon and plunged it face down in the dirt. They could have done it. They chose not to. They didn't. They had other things to do. So this guy with a gold card at the Canaanite brothel, okay, and is disrespectful to his father and cannot control himself and violates his Nazarene vow, that's the guy that God's going to use for the times in which we live. And you can see some of those kinds of tendencies at play here. So I would prefer that it was someone right out of central casting who represented our Lord and everything that we have preached and tried to turn this culture back to. I would prefer that it was that person leading the charge up the hill against the Philistines, against the spirit of the age. But they had too many khakis to pleat, Jenna. They had too many sweater vests to wrinkle free. They had too many skinny jeans to iron. They didn't have time. They couldn't be found. And so I guess Samson it is. And if you want to know who the enemy is, they told me over the weekend, he's the enemy. And so in light of this, I'm reevaluating some of my own inclinations. Now, on the life stuff and everything else, I'm going to, you know, to me, you fight to the end on those kinds of principles. All right. Period. All right. And by the way, Samson faced terrible consequences. It wasn't like the Lord said, hey, I'm going to let you get away with violating my word because I put a call on you. No, he faced terrible consequences. That moment I mentioned where Samson plunges the temple of Dagon down into the dirt, he's blinded. He's lost everything. It's his last act. He's paid a heavy price for not obeying God's word. God held him accountable at the same time he used him. God has done this with Trump. He's lost millions upon more money than we can count on lawyers, lost business opportunities. His family can never go back to the life they had before of global financiers and celebrities. They'll never do that. They'll have to be some form involved in politics and the culture war and the stain of that for the rest of their lives. He almost went to prison. Okay, they still might even try it in September when they resentence him. We don't know. He's nearly got assassinated. Okay, I mean, they came up with a complete hoax. I mean, it's not as if that he has not faced accountability for his missteps. That's the beauty of God. He's both eminent and transcendent, okay? But I think it is just as possible that we are watching the Republican Party sell us out as it is that we are actually seeing in a negative world in which we live right now, that this might be what we're watching right now might be the shrewdest way to break the stranglehold the Democrat cult of identity politics has had on people and this country and poisoned it and damaged it for decades. I don't know. I would have said before I saw them try to kill Trump, and the them, I'm talking about literal demons when I say that. When I saw that they tried to kill Trump, okay, I would have said before Saturday afternoon, what's going on here is a clear betrayal of our principles. Now I'm being honest. I'm not entirely sure there might not be something more cosmic here at stake, and we're being held accountable. The church is. And God is saying to us, hey, you know what? Yeah, I kept calling. You know, like Jesus says to his own people in the New Testament, the king held a banquet, Jenna. The king held a banquet, and the people that were intended to come were invited. And they didn't show. They had other things to do. And so the king says, throw open the doors and let whoever will come, come. Well, God called a war. And said, hey, you've prayed out to me. You guys want this stuff to end. Come on, empty the churches out into the battlefield we go. We had other things to do. We had megapolises in the suburbs to build. We had purposes to find. We couldn't be found. There was nothing. We had other things on our mind. So God went and got the people who drop F-bombs and other folks and said, okay, I guess we'll use them to wage war against the darkness. You'll fight battles with the soldiers you actually have, the ones who show. The Mike Pence types could have shown. They didn't. Mike Pence sat in that chair as governor of Indiana at the very dawn of the battle against religious freedom, and when he had the Final Four and the RFRA, and he more than puckered. He puckered so bad that the Family Research Council said his quote-unquote compromise at the time was going to make it easier for them to commit Christians, not harder. He flipped on us. We could have done this, but the nice guy, pious, evangelical, make sure he bounces his eyes every time a woman in yoga pants shows up at the gym. He couldn't be counted on. He had other things to do. So I guess we'll go out with some of these people that are a little more Cousin Eddie, okay, than the Gary Cooper sheriff, but at least they're showing up for the fight. And I think we should all consider, if we're disappointed by this, that we are watching two things happen at once. Number one, you're seeing what life in a post-Christian culture looks like. And this is a post-Christian culture, not because we lost the culture war. We surrendered it. We didn't even go fight. We didn't even enlist before, it's, you know, even if it was going on. And then number two, you will see that something will emerge to fight against darkness. You'll see that. And it may or may not be godly. It might be just pure populism like the Bastille in France, or it might be a God trying to make his people jealous for his zeal yet again. It could be one of the two, and I think we'd all be real wise now. After a generation of just sitting here and losing the culture war, I think we'd all be real wise if we just let's take the advice of Gamaliel in the book of Acts. If this is of God, we can't stop it anyway. So let's just sit back and let's see what this actually is. And let's make sure we're not the nothing good could come from Nazareth people. And pardon me for the rant.
I love your rants, Steve Dace, who is the host of the Steve Dace Show on The Blaze. And there's so much there. And I think your rant that has so many good points in it just evidences how complicated, in a sense, this issue is, because I know that there are people out there who just 100% support Trump and they're shocked that people like you and me could even consider criticizing him. And then there's people on the other hand who are saying, how can you possibly support Donald Trump? Look at his past. I mean, all the things that we've heard for the last 10 years, right? And then there are the people saying, well, the GOP isn't a church, so this is a political party. Why are you even whining? Get on board. What are you going to do? Go and help the Democrats. And then there are other people who are saying that compromises my values. If I was ever part of the GOP, then that was because at least their platform stood for life. They said that they were for traditional marriage. And yes, we had an imperfect person running, but at least Trump was saying in 2016 that he was pro-life. Yeah.
Can I ask a quick question about that? Because when I first started this 18 years ago, man, I was fixated on the platform committee. Here in my state of Iowa, I helped to stack the platform committee. We made those things for years look like they were right out of the Council of Nicaea. Okay. There was more biblical exegesis there than you got in the 90% of the evangelical churches. But 90% of Republicans did nothing about any of it. Never read it, didn't care about it. And when I would point out to people, Romney is running pro-choice ads. Well, the platform is, vote for the platform. What if it's so we vote for a piece of paper and people don't obey it? That's it. We do that. So essentially what's happened is we have gone from a very ecclesiastically and theologically sound exegesis of Christian virtue and civics that almost no one adhered to one that is extremely watered down of all of those things. But the people who did the watering down are way more likely to act on the limited scope of the expression of our faith than the people who signed off on the vast, broad scope. Is one better or worse than the other? I can't figure that out. I don't know. But what here's the part of this debate that I really would heavily push back on. If your conscience says Trump is unrepentant with what happened with that jab, I lost a loved one. Trump is unrepentant about what happened with lockdowns and my best buddy, his church closed and his Celebrate Recovery group wasn't there. He took his own life. I can't vote for him again. I have no arguments, never have, completely understand that. And I think as Christians, we always fight to protect one another's rights of conscience, particularly in a negative world where our consciences are going to now be infringed upon more than ever before. But if you are not voting for Trump because you think this was some kind of holy roller party before him, that this was some kind of, we were literally just rolling kids out of Hillsdale and thus speaketh Zarathustra. We were just paving the streets of gold and we had taken the Reagan Revolution to multiple. I just want to know, what Republican Party were you a part of prior to 2015?
Right. And you, no, 100%.
You are essentially doing with the same thing the corporatists did in 2015 and 16. Refuse to have the self-awareness to look at the fact you forging into a uniparty is what set the stage for Trump. Similarly, you looking the other way at Romney, McCain, the Bushes for years and years and years, using us, lying to us, doing nothing on what we think is what set the stage for people to accept what you view as a substandard champion of your own values. Why? Because for a generation, you accepted substandard champions of your values. They were just more pious people, but they weren't any better at actually standing for our values.
Well, and I think, Steve, you're absolutely right. And you and I have talked a lot about how the evangelicals that have been in some of the highest positions, you know, vice president, speaker of the house, had so much access and proximity, have been the weakest on actually getting things done. And the GOP platform is, in the words of Scalia with the Constitution, a mere parchment guarantee, right? There's nothing that says that the platform itself is going to be enforced or that it speaks for every candidate or that we don't have evangelicals that are weak and feckless that have been out there. And so there absolutely is nobody, I don't think, is arguing that the GOP was somehow this pristine, basically a church full wonderful people.
You have not seen my mentions because there are many people arguing that. Okay.
Which is really sad. But then there are people, though, and hopefully, can you stay on for the next segment? It's only about 7 minutes. If you have to go, that's fine.
Sure.
But I'd like to. Okay, great.
Sure.
So we're gonna have to take a break in just a second here. But a lot of people are saying that the GOP is not a church, so why do you expect them to stand for anything? You know, why do you, Christian, think that the GOP, even in their platform, which is the other opposite extreme, right? Because coalitions, by definition, coalesce around a common goal or idea. So if the GOP is wanting Christians to coalesce around a common goal or idea, that's the purpose of the platform, to at least say we stand for something. And the GOP has at least arguably said, if not in action, they've at least said that, so that we had a seat at the table to say, look, your platform says this. We need to advance policy on that metric, where now, when they've excised it, they're saying you don't even have a seat at the table. But we'll be right back to talk about all of this and more, and where evangelicals go from here in our culture, with Steve Dace right after this. A recent study reports that the rapidly declining global birth rate will lead to a major population crisis if birth rates continue to decline. Their massive support for Planned Parenthood is all part of their plan. While we may feel hopeless in the constant attack on life, there is an amazing way to fight back. When they shout abortion, we shout life. Preborn is leading the way. Every day, their network rescues 200 babies. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears the heartbeat, a baby's chance at life doubles. The ultrasound is the secret weapon that joins a mother's heart to her child. Preborn provides ultrasounds for clinics in the highest abortion areas. Can we join hands nationwide for life? One ultrasound is just $28, but any gift will help. $5,000 will underwrite ultrasounds for an entire network for a day. All gifts are tax deductible. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
Welcome back to Jenna Ellis in the Morning on American Family Radio.
Welcome back, and our good friend Steve Dace from The Blaze, host of The Steve Dace Show. And I think, as you have just observed, one of the most prolific speakers and Christian voices in our time right now. And I love having him on because it's so important to talk about these things. And obviously, there are a lot of different reactions to where we go from here and what to focus on specifically. But the bottom line, I think, Steve, is that this moment has led to a lot of so-called conservatives saying, like Rob Smith yesterday, who's, you know, Fox News contributor, tweeted this: the RNC strips the GOP platform of all anti-LGBT language. Working Marine class vet tapped as VP. This is how Republicans grow the tent, build the coalition. Cry more, Puritans. They're specifically saying, basically, Christians, take a seat, be in the corner. If you bothered to raise your voice at all over the last 10 years or even beyond, this isn't your party anymore. Sit down, shut up, get on board, because we're taking this further. The log cabin Republicans, the social issues, and they don't want us to have a voice. So we have to, regardless of conscience and how every person individually chooses to proceed, we at least need to proceed, and we need to do that strategically moving forward. What are your ideas on that?
Learn from the mistakes of the past. All right. The log cabin Republicans outworked us for over a decade. I got contacted, names you would know, who 6 months ago warning, saying, hey, They're taking our delegates away. They're going to water down the platform. And I kept telling them, all right, come on the show. I'll give you a platform to voice this to one of the largest audiences of evangelicals in the country. None of them did. They thought they were going to fix it in Kent Clinton, and they're going to be quiet about it, because too many evangelical leaders are more in politics, are more concerned with their own personal positions than their principles. And one of the reasons why every time this network calls me, if I can make it work, I make it work. And I don't do a lot of the other traditional social conservative, name your organization, podcasts. I don't waste my time. I don't have time for people that don't fight, that all they care about is their position in D.C. There's a reason why the Wildmans have kept you all. I mean, I heard this from Tim himself one day. Hey, we just decided to stay here in Mississippi so we wouldn't get polluted by what goes on there like everybody else. Amen. All right. And so I'm willing to do this for AFA because I think the people that work there, based on my own experience, listen to these shows, as someone who used to host them, actually care about winning the culture war. Okay. So we have to, so here's what we need to do moving forward. Understand the signs of the times and stop fighting it. Okay. And you can't fight an environment. Okay. Turn it to your advantage. We're in a post-Christian culture. That means we're in a post-conservative and post-constitutional culture. All right. Doesn't mean those things are not relevant. It does mean, however, that they do not relate to what the average American in person thinks or lives on a daily basis in a post-Christian culture. We are now, therefore, on the right. The best we can't self-govern anymore. So talking points like, we're just going to cut the Department of Ed and we're going to, you know, deconstruct. We're going to cut the admin. That's just not the world we live in now. You have to accept the world we live in now. People cannot govern themselves without Christ. Can't do it. That's why John Adams said the Constitution is only for a whole moral and religious people. He was referring to the Christian religion when he said this. And so because of that, what you're going to get, and you're already seeing this right now, it exists right now in its nascent stages. The left will be the party of the total state. The state is in whom we live and breathe. They will fulfill Chesterton's warning that when the government removes God, the government becomes God. You're seeing that now. All right. Politics as a religion. The right will become the party of Red Caesar. And Donald Trump is the Julius of this line. And that's all we're going to get moving forward. Our boy DeSantis is also a Red Caesar. He's more of a Constantine. But he, by the force of his will, moved the Republican Party of Florida way further to the right than it's ever been. He's still vetoing legislation out of his own Republican legislature as we speak. All right, you're only going to get Red Caesars without revival. Okay, and Caesars are fickle. Some will have different ambitions than others. Some will want to be declared God, others won't. Some will want to be loved, some will want to be challenged. That relational politics is going to matter way more now, because when you're in a kingship, coalitions matter. And your place within the realm and on the court requires leaders who understand how to navigate that process and understand how to make it known that you can be both loyal, but you have leverage. Hey, you know, if you really want my tribe, my sect to fight for you, okay, they need blank to inspire them. That's the kind of place we are in now. We have to understand this, all right? We are not a plurality. We're not a silent majority. We're a significant faction. That's what we are. And we need to recognize that either you make your person king. Now, the good news is our kings are still going to be elected in America for as long as we have elections in America. So it's not going to just be by birthright. So, you know, we can get our own people elected king. We can do that, okay, if we have people that actually are that level of competent and ambitious and effective at the same time. We can get our own people king. Barring your guy being the Red Caesar, then you need people within that realm who care more about representing their faction than they do using you to curry favor with Caesar. And I'm reminded about what a prominent Southern Baptist told me in 2016 on the Cruz campaign about Dr. Richard Land. And he said, you know, when we first sent Dr. Richard Land to Washington, he told Republicans what we wanted. Now he comes back from Washington and he tells us what the Republicans are willing to give us. When that happens, that guy's got to be replaced. And it's time for a new generation of leadership that understands, no, we tell them, okay, this is what our tribe needs to give you the tribute you want. That's what we need to be thinking about moving forward.
Steve Dace, always so appreciate your time and your commitment to the truth and to principles. And I always so appreciate when you do make the time for us here at AFA and your wisdom. And thank you for fighting the good fight. We all need to ensure that we continue to do that moving forward. So we'll be right back with more here on Jenna Ellis in the Morning.
So your hands are covered in gunk, and you realize it's time for your favorite AFR show. If you have an Alexa device, just ask Alexa to play the appropriate live stream. You can also listen to a particular podcast from a specific day, or find out when a show airs, all without using your hands. To find out all about how Alexa can help you enjoy AFR, head on over to afr.net/alexa-skill. Then, your AFR wish is Alexa's command. Welcome back to Jenna Ellis in the Morning on American Family Radio.
Welcome back, and we are talking about the culture war at this specific moment in time, and with everything that has gone on just in this past week, and it's only Thursday, and we may see Joe Biden step down even before the end of the week. There is so much going on, but how do we as Christians move forward when we have clearly seen, if we haven't already over the last, you know, 20 and 30 years, how much the party that is supposed to represent conservative values is abandoning them, and yet we still have to engage that battle. And what Steve Dace was talking about specifically with AFA, I just want to say that for the time that I have been here, which is about a year and a half with AFA, and I've worked for other and with a lot of other prominent evangelical organizations, either worked for them or just in coalitions and all of that, I have to say that one of the main reasons that I love AFA and I am here for the long haul is because I respect the leadership of this organization so much. Because Tim Wildman and Walker and the leadership here are always really incredibly precision at considering the moment, considering the biblical worldview analysis and taking truth, applying it to our moment in time, navigating the waters carefully, strategically, and never, ever compromising. And that is incredibly rare, even among evangelical organizations. And a lot of them do a lot of really good work. But I think that this organization is very special in that regard, that I have 100% trust and confidence in our leadership. And I have never seen to date any moment where they have even remotely compromised or even considered it. When something is demanded of them that may not be popular to donors, audience, whatever, they don't care. They do the right thing anyway. And that's being faithful. So how do we continue to consider this moment? Well, I've been talking to our good friend Todd Starnes, host of the Todd Starnes Show, and toddstarnes.com media, where you can read a lot of these headlines from a biblical worldview perspective. And Todd, I want to get your take on where we are at as an evangelical coalition and how we navigate our access, touch points, seat at the table with this new openly progressive GOP and a candidate like Donald Trump that, you know, has never been particularly Christian necessarily in terms of how we would define it, but has been pro-life, has done a lot of really good things. And there is so much momentum behind him, he likely and hopefully will get a second administration.
Jenna, good morning, and always great to be on American Family Radio. We certainly miss our commentaries in the mornings on AFR. I will say this, Jenna, and I think it's a weird time, right? I mean, it really is a weird time for Christians and the relationship between the Republican Party and Christians. You have to go all the way back to 2015, I think, to understand, you know, why we are where we are. That was when Senator Ted Cruz was speaking at Liberty University, and he said that roughly half of all born-again Christians don't even bother to get up and vote on Election Day. They don't engage the political process. I think this is one of those rare instances, Jenna, where both sides need to be taken to the woodshed, and we need to have a come to Jesus meeting with both sides of the issue here. First of all, evangelical Christians had this mindset. We want the Republican Party to be our standard bearer. We want them to defend our issues at the ballot box and on Capitol Hill. But when it comes time for the politicians to want to come into the church and to talk about their issues, we say, oh, no. You can't come into our church houses. You can't put out the voter guides. No. You can't come here. This is off limits. This is untoward. And so I think when you have a candidate, a person like Donald Trump, this is a man who is very transactional, and he's been pretty darn clear, I think, with Christians that, you know, he's not a go-to-church-every-Sunday guy. He's a go-to-the-golf-course guy, which, by the way, represents a very large swath of the Christian population. And so when you have a transactional guy and he sees that the other side isn't holding up their end of the bargain, then I think that we got what we got here, and it's not a good place for us to be.
Yeah, and Steve Dace said in the last segment something that I totally agree with, was that people like the log cabin Republicans who've been pushing for a same-sex marriage coalition and the whole pride coalition within the GOP for at least the last 10 years, if not longer, they have simply outworked evangelicals as a wide swath. And that's not to say every individual or every organization, but by and large, they have shown up. I mean, you're seeing Melania Trump do a lot of these fundraisers for the Log Cabin Republicans, and you're seeing a lot of evangelicals that are very hesitant to even mention politics, much less have a politician come in or talk about, you know, maybe how we should vote or how we should engage as citizens. And so I think there is something there, Todd, that if the coalition of evangelicals that got a lot of the promises that Donald Trump had in 2016 delivered on, and yet they didn't really show up in the same way that they promised or that Trump expected them to, then perhaps he's thinking, well, then why promise them anything, especially when he has probably is at the height of his popularity within an even wider base and may really think he just doesn't actually need evangelicals. So for those of us who still want to make an impact, it's not just about access. It's not just about a seat at the table. It's about actual influence, and it's about getting things done. How do we even begin to try to outwork now the Log Cabin Republicans and say, okay, you know, maybe they're in your coalition, but we at least want to bring these issues to the fore and have some policy wins in the next administration?
Well, this is really devastating, Jenna, and I can't really overstate how devastating this is, because we lost the culture war within the Republican Party. I mean, it really is. I don't know if people have come to terms with that or have started to come to terms with that. And it is going to be a very long and difficult process. I mean, when you look at some of the gatherings of the Christians that are involved in politics, those numbers have been declining, and it happened before COVID. Not everybody wants to blame COVID, but this all started well before COVID. Meanwhile, look at the gatherings. They've had at least four Log Cabin Republican fundraisers at Mar-a-Lago. Standing room only crowds from the photographs and the videos that we've seen, Jenna. That tells me, and again, Trump sees this, right? It's right in front of his face at Mar-a-Lago, so he sees all of this. I think we have to be looking beyond 2024. We have to be putting together a plan. Clearly, the pro-life movement had no plan for life after Roe v. Wade. That's been pretty evident. And I think that evangelicals are going to have to, quite frankly, play smart politics. And I know that sounds kind of weird and maybe unseemly. But again, we're not talking about Christians playing politics in the church house. We're talking about Christians engaging the culture. And Jenna, that is something that the churches in this country did well before we even had a country. And it had it not been for the churches talking about politics and worldview, we may very well have never have had a United States of America. And I wrote about this in my book, Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved? And my last book, Culture Jihad.
Yeah, well, absolutely. And it's so remarkable to me that some people who call themselves Christians that are in churches, and they should obviously be in better churches that are encouraging them differently, are saying, well, the GOP is never a church. And, you know, the separation of church and state, and you need to just be tolerant on all of these things. And how can they possibly believe that when you look at America's founding? I mean, you know how many pastors and priests were part of the Revolutionary War that actually signed the U.S. Constitution? I mean, there are so many of our founders that were preachers by vocation. And you want to talk about not having a country. I mean, I was also mentioning Rob Smith's comment that he says, cry more Puritans. Does he even, I mean, I responded to him, do you even know who the Puritans were? I mean, do you know that John Bunyan, Matthew Henry, Jonathan Edwards, I mean, some of these great Christians who have influenced culture in their day and age, and they were willing, I mean, John Bunyan was literally willing to go to prison because he was told in his day and age, you can't preach the word of God. They have no idea. They think that this is just the trite, rah-rah sort of TED Talk Christianity that they've been used to in the mega church America and watered down evangelicalism. And it's time, Todd Starnes, I think, that Christians who are on fire for the Lord, who understand theology, understand legitimacy in government, actually engage, starting in our local communities, but then all the way up to the federal level. I mean, I'm old enough to remember when people told me in 2016, the Christians that were just, oh, Donald Trump is so terrible. He's not the, you know, the perfect Mormon, like, we, you know, when we nominated Romney, right? Like, so it's totally hypocritical. But they're saying, you know, we would never, no Christian should ever work for him. And I said at the time, not even knowing I was going to work for him a few years later, I said, if I was ever given the opportunity, of course I would work for him, because I would go in as a Christian, at least saying, maybe a Daniel to King Darius moment of saying, at least Christians around him could then influence. And I think we need to get back to that and understanding how we can.
I've been doing this a really long time, Jenna, and I see both sides here. And I try not to be jaded, because, you know, at the end of the day, God is still on the throne, right? But I've been doing this a long time, and both sides are so guilty. And I know that on the Christian political side, you've got people, they're all about the same things. It's all about power. And I will tell you this, after I left Fox News, a lot of those famous evangelical leaders would not return my calls. They were done with me until they figured out, oh, wait a second, Todd's platform got bigger post-Fox, and then the phone call started again. And then when I got hired by Newsmax, well, the phones are blowing up again because everybody wants to come on TV. You know, they want your platform. That's why I say both sides need to have a come to Jesus meeting. And it's a little disingenuous to see some of these folks out there complaining about not having a seat at the table now, because I see how everybody behaves behind closed doors. That being said, the way that Christians were treated at the RNC platform meeting, that's appalling. And that's an issue that has to be addressed within the party itself, because they're behaving just like the Democrats are, and I don't think that's right. But my encouragement is, get out there, Christians, and engage the political process. Pastors, consider engaging the culture in your communities and speaking and preaching about the issues that are impacting our nation. And I think that's ultimately how we're gonna really turn this ship, Jenna.
Yeah. And you know, Todd Starnes, it's so true that, you know, the behind the scenes, and you've seen it for even a lot longer than I have. But I mean, I saw it for a long time and still see it, you know, the behind the scenes of the total corruption and the transactional nature of Washington, and even among some evangelicals. But you posted after Saturday and the assassination attempt, I was so grateful the next day was Sunday. And you posted something along the lines of, you know, if your pastor isn't talking about the assassination attempt, you need to find a better church. And there were people that took umbrage with that. But I'm thinking that's exactly it, because the world and Americans were wondering, you know, how do we process this? What do we think? How do we think rightly about this? And if the pastors aren't meeting that moment, and they're just sitting there talking about, you know, how you too can have a better, you know, financial portfolio or something, you know, trivial in that moment, that's important, but in that moment, not meeting the moment, what are they doing as pastors?
It's a great question. And yes, it wasn't just I got drilled, and the Christian posted a nasty hit piece. And you know what? That comes with the territory. That's fine. But the reality is this, Jenna, is a lot of churches have disengaged. And it wasn't just that one particular story that I was referring to. This was in a long process of thoughts that I've been having over the past year or so, is that Christian pastors need to be able to talk about these issues. Unfortunately, we have far too many woke evangelicals in America. And when you disengage the church, as John Adams, our second president, said, our nation is wholly inadequate for anyone other than a moral and religious people. So when you take God out of the equation, none of it works, and you get chaos in the culture, and we got chaos in the culture.
We do. And this is why commentary like yours at ToddStarnes.com, each and every day, what we do here on American Family Radio Network is so important, because this isn't just about, you know, the church needs to teach theology, absolutely. But the rallying cry after that is to say, okay, now that we have the knowledge of God, what are we doing with it? if we're just, I mean, this is why we can't hide our light under a bushel. This is why we have to go and be in the world, not of it. I mean, there are so many ways. The Great Commission itself, you know, go into the world and teach the gospel. And we need to be engaging our culture at every moment. And if pastors, Todd, are standing down because they're too afraid of backlash or not having access or a mean tweet or whatever it is, then they're failing to see that their mission and their number one goal is an audience of one, which is Jesus Christ himself. So in the last about 30 seconds we have here, closing thoughts.
I think that's a good analysis, Jenna. But again, my encouragement is to Christians, get involved, get engaged in the culture. That's how Ronald Reagan got elected. Had it not been for the moral majority, Jerry Falwell Sr., Pat Robertson, and those guys mobilizing Christians around the nation, what happened in that election cycle would not have happened. So we got to get engaged. When Christians do get engaged, good things happen to this country.
Amen. And that was a lot of the good that came out of the first Trump administration was because Christians got engaged. So we can never miss our moment. We are still in this moment. If you are still living and breathing on this earth, God has a purpose for you. You need to engage. You can reach me and my team at Jenna@AFR.net.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.
We'd like to thank our sponsors, including Preborn. Preborn has rescued over 200,000 babies from abortion, and every day their network clinics rescue 200 babies' lives. Will you join Preborn in loving and supporting young moms in crisis? Save a life today. Go to preborn.com.